What is Austin's state of mind after two disappointing Chargers losses? Is there any hope for my terrible fantasy team in our Eckler's Edge Show League? And a full and complete and total breakdown, exactly what you wanted, on the Tush Push and the Eagles offense, all that and more coming up on Eckler's Edge. It's Wednesday, October 25th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to Eckler's Edge, presented by Toyota, part of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and obviously joining me to do just that is LA Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Austin, what's going on, buddy?
Matt, how's it going, man? I'm doing well myself. There's a lot to be thankful for in this life, and I just appreciate being able to wake up and come and do shows like this and spread some value in different ways. And be able to play the game that I love. So I'm very appreciative of that. And, get to do it with someone like yourself. So looking forward to the show today, man.
Oh, geez. Well, I'm happy to make the list of things that you're feeling good about, man, because I feel good about, doing this show with you, for God's sakes. I mean, that's great stuff. That's a great way to start the show. A lot of positivity between you and I.
It's just forward looking, I would say. I try to stay away from the positivity because, not in a sense where I don't want it, but you can't get caught up in it, right? And so for us, I love to be forward-looking, things that can move forward, things that are helpful, things that are progressing, like us with our show and our content, the value that we're adding, and those things help make me happy. And so it's not always going to be positive out there. We know that. There's ups and downs, but if we can continue to look forward, then I think it helps us put ourselves in a better state of mind because we're always looking towards something, even if it's not good in the current, or even if it is good in the current. So I'm with it, Matt.
Yeah, we're always moving forward. The NFL season, whether you're playing, fantasy football, if you're just observing the league, trying to be forward looking and forward thinking is I think the best way to approach it. Scott Pienowski, one of the other co-hosts on the podcast, he always says, you want to skate to where the puck is going and not where it has been, right? I think that's just a good way to look at, if you're trying to be like me, accurate in what I'm talking about and in the predictions that I'm making. I think for you, getting better and better every week on the football field and trying to help your team win games, I think that's a part of it. I do think, and you could tell me if you approach things differently, I know for me, I think a part of trying to be successful in the future is looking back, right, at the mistakes that you've made. We'll talk about my stupid fantasy team here later on, but Calvin Ridley, a guy I drafted way too high this year, I spent a lot of yesterday's podcast thinking back, all right, how did I get here to this prediction and how was I wrong in this, right? What were the mistakes that led me to this moment so that in the future, past me can help not screw over future me, which is what happened in this scenario here. I don't know. Is that how you approach things from a player perspective too?
Yeah, I would say there's definitely some, there's some insight there, especially at an individual level. That's where all of your insight's going to come from, right? What you've been through, what your experience is. And so you definitely have to find a lot of factors within that, right? What was the planning? How did it make you feel? There's all these different things that play into it when you're looking at your own personal growth, and definitely reflecting on, the past is the best indicator of, what you like, what you don't, and help you put your trajectory in hopefully a position that's advantageous for you going forward. So I agree, man. I think that's definitely something that we all have to do.
Yeah, I try as much as possible to learn from my mistakes and put out a better product for the people, right? Because people come to this show, whether it's this one with you or any of the others that I host damn near every day on this podcast feed, for good information and stuff that doesn't suck, okay? And I'm not going to be perfect, right? I mean, we know this. I told somebody today, if you expect perfection, you can expect to be disappointed. And anybody who sells you perfection, you should be immediately suspicious about those people, right? So, but that's just me, how I try to, get used to, how I get used to getting better every single day. But hey, look, we're talking about this because it's been a bit of a rough 2 weeks for the Chargers. You haven't quite had the same success I'm sure you've wanted to. Spinning it forward, how are you feeling about the season, kind of what it has been, and going forward through the rest of the way here? Give me the state of the state with Austin Eckler.
Yeah. For us as players, our feelings don't really matter. Like it doesn't matter how I feel. I got a job to do, you know, as players. That's what we had. That's what we signed up for, to win football games. And that's what it comes down to for us week to week. Did we win or did we not? You know, not how did you feel? Do you feel good? Do you feel bad? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You have another game coming up. And until it's over, guess what? You have to treat it with that type of mindset where I have to go out there and try to produce as much as I possibly can to help this team win games and try to be as efficient as I possibly can and make plays within that as well. And, you know, for what we've been going through, I think that's where we've been lacking, is just making sure that we stay efficient with that. Like we have these splashes of, yep, look, we can play at a high level, absolutely, but we have to sustain that. And we know that. And that's what we try to continue to work out in every single week, is sustaining a high level. Because when you look at these teams that have had consistent success, what do you see? You see consistency. And that's something that, you know, you can preach, and it will never not be relevant in sports, is consistency and making sure that you play at a high level for as long as the game goes. And if you do that, you're going to give yourself a better chance to win. It can't be ups and downs. And like I said, we know that, and that's what we're trying to work on. And that's what it's been for us. And that's why we're 2-4. Not because we don't have the talent, but because we haven't put our talent, you know, at the maximum every single quarter. And we can't have splashes of it here and there and expect to win, you know, close games against tough teams. And so for me, that's one thing that I'm focusing on this week, is making sure, okay, how can I maintain, and not just maintain, but also sustain this opportunity and this progress of playing at a high level and making plays? I gotta make plays. That's something that I feel like I haven't done as much this year. And you know, for whatever reason, it comes back to me internally, being the player that I know I can be and making sure that I'm playing at that level.
Well, I'm excited to see what you do going forward. I think we can expect good things from you going forward. At least I know I am. You know, you talk about consistency, man. The whole league is a little inconsistent right now. You know, just even if you're just looking at records, right? Like the teams that have the best record in the NFL right now, or the best like win percentage, right? Kansas City's up there at the top. You know, you guys just faced them, of course, but they obviously got off to a little bit of a slow start. They lost their first game. There have been some inconsistencies there on offense. I can tell you that watching all of their games back. We'll talk about the team, the Eagles, in the second place, you know, in terms of win percentage right now. We're going to have a whole section on them a little bit later in the show. Even they have had their moments of like, man, is it all the way there? Is it not all the way there? Damn, 49ers lost last night. They've lost two in a row. As a player, right, you just talk about looking forward. I'm curious, like, when you have these, for the 49ers, just using them as an example, you have these like two games where we've lost twice, we've not played up to expectations, you know, is it easy to get caught in the moment of those two games and like hyper focus on that and sort of forget what you know you are, or how do you spin that situation forward?
Yeah, I don't think you ever forget who you know you are, because you can't. That's your reality. You are who you are, and you've built the reputation you've built based on what you've done in the past. And for you, for us as players, the only thing we can do is continue to try to maintain that or change that. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make it better than what it was in the past. You're really never trying to stay in the same place. Even if you have a great reputation and you're like, you're dominant and you're the top, you're still trying to make it better. That never changes. And so that's something that is consistent, is the preparation and the practice and the efforts and the habits that we put in week after week. And that never changes. And obviously we want to go out there and win, but guess what? You're playing against another team who wants the same thing, and they put in that same effort, the same, you know, attention to detail. But when it comes down to Sundays, that's when it has to show. And if it doesn't show, or if someone shows up better than someone else, guess what? That team's going to end up winning. But it doesn't mean you compromise your integrity. You don't compromise your standards. You still hold yourself to the same standard that you're going to go show up. It's not like you weren't trying hard that week and that's what caused you to lose. You were trying as hard as you possibly could. But for whatever reason, weren't able to perform on Sunday. And so that's what you use the week for. And you don't ever feel any type of difference. If you feel like, hey, we need to practice harder, then your standard has been compromised. And us as competitors at this level, we hold ourselves to that standard. We have leaders that are on our teams that hold that standard. And if you don't, then you need better leadership. And you know, I would say for most teams, the standard is pretty set, and people are held to that standard, whether it's from coaches, whether it's from players, because that's what it takes to be able to play at this level and play consistent. So even coming off a tough loss, like for us, you know, we've lost, you know, two in a row now, and you know, it's not that you know, we have a compromised standard or have any integrity, you know, issues, or, you know, the team doesn't believe, it's that we got to be consistent on Sundays. And, you know, that's when it shows up. It's when it shows up. It's not anything else besides that. I promise we're putting in the work. We're putting in the game plan. But, you know, we have to make plays on Sunday. And if you don't, do you get discouraged? No. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, you're frustrated, but it's not because you didn't put in the preparation, but it's because, hey, I got to make sure that on Sundays, that's where it has to show up. So, you know, even these teams that we have expectations for and standards for, because they've earned that, still has to be withheld. It's not because they have this, you know, reputation. That means that's what's going to happen, right? Even they have to go out and perform, right? You know, like you said, the 49ers have taken two losses now. Look at the Eagles. They've continued to hold their standard. They lost, though, you know, last week. You know, they're undefeated, you know, so... That's what makes the NFL great. It's crazy because any Sunday, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, anytime you hear like a damn gambling ad, there's always these like 20 minutes of disclaimers afterwards, right? Because don't be so sure you know what's going to happen here, right? Because this thing can be very volatile. And man, I mean, we talked about this last night in our pre-production meeting, and you just mentioned it again. It's like, we get so caught up, especially when you're analyzing fantasy football, you get caught up on offense, right? And like, all right, well, this is a good matchup because of this. Like last night, receivers against the Vikings have been a pretty good matchup, right? And in the first half, your guy on your fantasy team and my guy, you know, because of my career reputation, Brandon Ayuk, he's got five catches in the first half. He didn't catch another damn ball in the second half. Well, I mean, that's because their job is to go out and stop him, right? So it's like you have these expectations again for the way things are going to go, and you got to be really careful about writing those into stone, I guess, is kind of my
thought. Yeah, and you know, something that's also interesting is even though both teams are putting all this work in, it doesn't ensure success, right? Mm-hmm. You're not guaranteed just because you had a great week of work, which we've stacked weeks of work that we've been super proud of. But when it comes down to it, like you have to perform on Sunday. And yeah, sure, maybe different teams have different caps and capacities of their upside and things like that. But it doesn't matter. If you don't play at the 100% capacity because of whatever reason, then it's going to be a tough game. And every team each week is trying to play at 100% capacity. And if you do that, it's going to, right, push back against the other team and not let them play at 100. Like both teams can't play at 100%. And that's what competition is we're trying to impose our will on you to make you play and make you not look as good because we look better and vice versa. And so when you put it at the highest level, you know, everything is so important, especially on game days, but making sure all these little details, they all matter and they all play out. And that's why we love this game so much. And that's why people are so invested, because they have expectations and they're excited and they know it can be crazy, and they love the wins. They love the emotions. But as the actual competitor down, boots on the ground, we can't see any of that. Like, I don't give a damn about how anyone feels. I care about how can I help this team win football games. That's it. Win or lose, I come back the next week. If we have another game, that's the only thing that's on my mind, is how can I help my team win football games? Am I playing to my standard? And if I'm not, how can I put myself in that? Am I preparing at the highest standard? And am I doing the things that I need to do to try and put the best product on Sunday? And, you know, from a fan's perspective, it's frustrating for them. They're like on both extremes, I see. That's like, if we're not doing well, it's terrible. We suck. We go next year. If it's great, we're the best. We're the Super Bowl contenders. And it's like, there's very few in between, or at least the ones that are in between aren't the ones that aren't, they're not speaking, right? It's the ones on the outliers that are the ones that speak and create the media. And so there's all this buzz around, you know, good, bad. But like I said, as a competitor, boots on the ground, I don't give a damn. It's like, if it's going good, if it's going bad, guess what? I got a job to do.
Yeah, well, hey, man, that is extremely well said about like the state of expectations. And, you know, going into the season, you get it all ratcheted up. Everything is positive. Everybody's going to stay healthy. Every coach is going to call the right plays. Every player is going to execute every assignment. This breakout receiver is going to have everything. Like, everything is going to work out. You can paint that picture, and then the game starts, and you're like, oh shoot. That's not how it goes every single week, man.
It's not, but you know, as someone in the fantasy world, because we are a fantasy show, it's tough. that's why it's so hard to, for us, you know, to be like, okay, what do we project for these guys? Because there's right. so many factors that you can't account for, and you can't account for it because it only happens on Sunday. And it's really just, you know, random acts that maybe someone has a pop-off game. Maybe someone does it. Maybe someone's a little bit more consistent. Maybe there's a new coaching change that affects something. Maybe there's an injury that affects something. So, man, it's a tough game. But also, you know, we try to put as best principles that we can out there to try to help you make the best decision, because that's what it's going to come down to. You might use the best principles and it still might not work out for you because there's all of these other factors that we can't control. We can't control as people in the fantasy world. And so, you know, that's how life is. You know, you try to control what you can and hope for the best.
I mean, there was no better reminder of everything you just said this weekend than this whole thing that happened with Bijan Robinson with the Falcons, right? I mean, Andy Barron's one of the other hosts of this show. Somebody said to him, well, what is the point of fantasy analysts if you guys don't know that this is going to happen? Like, what happened? And it's like, bro, number one, don't try to take my job. I gotta put food on the table. Okay. I gotta pay the mortgage in this house. Please, let's, and I don't have any other skills. So let's continue to have fantasy analysts. That would be great. Number two, I would love to know how you expect me to know that that is gonna happen, right? Like, there's just, and that is an extreme example, but this happens literally every Sunday. Every play, every quarter, the whole thing. So yeah, it's a very volatile league.
And here's what I'll say about that. You know, if you're looking for any advice, especially in the fantasy world, like, you have to take it with, like, with a principle. Okay, what are the principles behind this person's, stance? And do you believe in those? And really what we're trying to do is give you what we see as odds. Like, hey, we think there's good odds of this happening, right? Nothing that we give you is going to be a guarantee, but it's from our perspective, which might be a little bit more invested than yours because maybe we're spending more time looking at this. We think that this could be the bigger potential. And so you have to take that obviously with a grain of salt, because with gambling, with, you know, with this odds thing, you know, it can go both ways. It could happen. It could go the other way. And then it's just for up to you. Who do you trust? You know, who do you trust? And even if you do trust them, doesn't mean it's going to always play out. It's just, you know, someone that you respect their relationship and their perspective, which hopefully, because you're watching the show, you respect ours. And
fingers
hopefully
crossed.
Giving you some good value.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Like I said, if you expect perfection, you will just be consistently disappointed. And I don't know. I'm not always going to be right. Austin knows he's not always going to be right about everything. We are not perfect. We are not robots, right? We're human beings. We're going to make mistakes, but hey, we're learning from those mistakes. Well, I'll tell you what, Austin, you know what team out there needs to potentially look at how they do things, maybe investigate current processes, and, you know, might need to take a hard look in the mirror about the standard that they're putting out there this year? Unfortunately, it's my fantasy team, because buddy, we're not in a good spot. All right. We're 3-4, Harmon's Hedge. We both took an L this week, but you
did.
Look at you, and you lost to Chris Harris, who's undefeated.
Gosh.
By the way, it's disgusting. I'm so upset that Chris Harris has not lost in this league. Horrifying. He had the first pick. He had McCaffrey. He's had a great team. Whatever. Point is, it's despicable that my friend Chris Harris is dominating this league. Second thing, I look at your team and I think you're in a pretty good spot. But me, man, I'm 3-4. Okay. I got whooped this week. I lost 64. I got 64 points I scored this week. My team scored this week against Nick Ercolano. Real disappointing effort. I fall below 500. My question to you, Austin, it's a general theme in fantasy right around this time of year at the midpoint. Is it better to ride it out with my guys, or is now maybe the time to make a big trade or kind of start thinking, like, how do I shake this whole operation up?
This, I feel like this question comes down, there's so much perspective in this question. And the reason I'm saying that is because of kind of the stuff that we were just talking about with the uncertainties. But it comes down to your gut feeling of what do you feel is maybe the upside in some of these guys? And is there potentially, especially if you have a team that's not doing well, is there even real value that you can get from some of these guys where it's like, maybe, like, you have me on your team. Right, let's talk about that. You have me on your team.
Let's talk about it.
I don't think I scored like 5 points this last weekend. not good.
You scored 5.1.
Yeah, wasn't 5.1. Good as far as fantasy stats. And so someone like that, where it's like, okay, is this guy going to get it figured out? You just heard me, you know, like from me, from the source, like the only thing I'm focused on is trying to help my team win football games. That doesn't mean it's going to actually happen. Like I have to go out there and actually do it and execute it on Sundays. But it's a guy, is this guy that, okay, maybe maybe he can pull it off in the end. Like maybe this guy is the guy that I believe in. Maybe it's like, maybe I don't, but maybe someone else does. And you can get value for that. So I think it's a time where, yeah, you can start poking around and seeing if there's people that maybe are maybe in a similar situation to you, but you believe in your guy or maybe one of their guys. Like maybe someone does believe in Austin Ekeler. Like, okay, this guy's going to pull through in the later half of the season. And maybe you can snag someone that maybe you don't believe in me and you go to find someone else. So I definitely think there's a space where you can start poking around a little bit and maybe trying to get value from some of these guys if you want to do a switch up. But vice versa, where if you're like, man, no, I think Austin's going to pull through, ride or die with this guy, man. And I use myself as an example because I'm right in the fantasy world, haven't been putting out that type of production. So it comes down to, do you believe in this guy or not? And if you don't, shoot, send me to the curb. No hard feelings. I don't care. I don't care, Matt, if you want to trade me. I actually said yesterday in the production call, I was like, I might trade you for me.
I'm curious. Maybe this
we might get a trade going.
but are you good? Okay, so you said no hard feelings. So if I trade you, what if I? Yes. Well, okay. If I trade you to you, I guess that's kind of that's one thing, right? You're literally buying in on yourself. Nobody believes in Austin Ekeler more than Austin Ekeler. But you just said like, hey, kick me to the curb. I'm not trying to say I'm trying to kick you to the curb, pal. Is that going to create tension between you and I?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if that's the perspective you have, like, oh, I'm done with this guy. I'm frustrated, right? He hasn't been doing what I expected. And so I'm kicking this guy to the curb, right? And so that might be value for somebody else. And so I think there is a place in there where, you know, we're at a spot in the season where, you know, people have been maybe underperforming or overperforming, over and under, whatever that means.
Right.
You know, that's subjective as well, where it's like, okay, there might be some value trades in there. And so I do believe there is some place right now to, yeah, start looking for some type of trades to maybe switch up your team to something that you feel good about. That's what it comes down to. Do you feel good about your team? Because, you know, regardless, you're going to have some team, even if they're not doing bad, you're still going to have, or if they're not doing good, you're still going to have your team. So you want to give yourself a chance to actually believe in that. And you have that option.
Well, I think this is a great point to talk about that looking forward reality here, because like I can look back on some of these guys on my team, like Calvin Ridley, another great example, right? I like Calvin Ridley and I think he's played really well for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year, but from a production standpoint, it hasn't always been there. And I drafted him way too high at the start of the season. It's like, I got to let that go, right? You know, I got to live in the now of what he is and like realize my expectations, like reimagine my expectations for what he is going forward. Zach Moss, another guy that I got plenty of good burn out of Zach Moss when Jonathan Taylor wasn't there, even a couple weeks when he was in the mix. And now though, it's looking like, all right, they paid JT. He's been there back now, what, three games? It's starting to look like there's a gap going to be between those two guys. Like I got to look forward. This Austin Ekeler trade though, you do at least have my interest. Like if you want to trade for Austin Ekeler, you make me an offer. What do you want to trade?
I am very interested in trading for that guy. I'll let you know.
All right.
Well, I was actually looking at my team because I'm like, you're going to need a running back then too, because you're going to lose Zach Moss. You're going to lose me. And I have Josh Jacobs, who's kind of been in a similar situation to me where he's like, he hasn't been like a stud as far as the fantasy realm goes this year. So it's like, I don't know if I have the value that I can give you for that guy, because mine's going to probably be in receiver, tight ends. You know, I'm not giving up my quarterback, so it's interesting. So maybe I don't have the value to get a guy like that from you, but you know, maybe I can put something together. Maybe we can do a little three-way trade. Who knows?
Yeah, we can just totally mix this thing up. By the way, Yahoo trade deadline is November 18th, so we have some time to think about this whole thing. But this is a good point to also. Or a good stage to mention this point. There's a psychological aspect to trading. Okay. Let's use this specific example. I know that Austin values Austin very highly because he quite literally is the player we are talking about. So remember that when you're trying to deal with your league mates, okay? They have a very different evaluation of these players than you do. So don't be coming at them with like, well, in the last 4 weeks, this player has only had this much, or like, I looked at www.fantasytrade.com or whatever, and this is what it's... That stuff don't matter, man. You know, it's all about like what they think. So I'm going to try to use Austin's psychological disadvantage here and his biases.
if we're trying to
do this trade, that's what I'll just put out there.
Okay. Yeah. No, that definitely has some weight. Absolutely. Cause regardless if we like it or not, we are emotional beings and we do have emotional connections to these players in one way or another, right? We feel emotionally good or bad, you know, or maybe even neutral, but usually it's on the good or bad side, even if it's a little bit in one direction. So there's definitely that aspect too. So you can use that to your advantage if you know what types of people like, or if they've been having a struggle with someone that they've had on their team, and they're like, oh, I'm tired of this person.
Right.
And it's like, well, hey, let me get that guy off your hands if you believe in that guy in the future.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's a great way to look at the buy low part of it too. It's like I have Ridley on my team, so it's a bad example in this scenario. But like when I'm saying I think he's played well when I watch him and I think he's executing his role, and he's a guy who hasn't played in a year and a half, maybe his role expands at some point. Maybe it doesn't. I could be wrong about that. But that's how I view it. So yeah, somebody who's like, this guy scored 1 point or whatever on a island game when we all watched Derek Carr check down 1,000 times, and then he's screaming at Chris Olave. And well, I'm now mixing up teams, right? I'm just frustrated about that Thursday night game. You can clearly tell. I'm frustrated about this performance. You can maybe take advantage of that frustration in that scenario. Let's talk about your team here real quick before we move on to the next segment. You are, like I said, riding pretty high here. You're in third place. You're 5-2. Is when you're in that scenario, you're kind of you've got the momentum, even if you're coming off one loss. Do you look at this team and think, well, it's gone pretty well, but like you said, Josh Jacobs hasn't performed necessarily to expectations. Davante Adams, maybe same thing at times, although he's been great at other areas of the season. When you're trying to be forward looking here and you look at a team, just because you have these two Raiders, I'm using them as an example, what is the rest of the season going to play out like for the Raiders? Do you think like, all right, I need to maybe make some tweaks here to prepare for the future, or do you just kind of keep riding what's gone well so far?
I think there's space to start looking around. And I think it's with maybe some of the teams that like yourself that are like maybe looking for a value trade for a guy that maybe hasn't been playing as expected in the fantasy world. And so for a guy like Josh Jacobs, it's one of those where, you know, hit Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams with the Raiders, like that team relies on those two guys. And then Jacoby Myers. Like those three have been like the three-headed monster over there that they've really relied on. And so that's why I think they've done well. They've carried their own, you know, even though their record isn't, you know, what the Eagles is. I say that because I have, you know, Swift and Goddard. They're tight end, right? And so, right, even though the Eagles are 5-1 or whatever their record is, and the Raiders or whatever their record is, like these guys are like pivotal in their team's, you know, success. And so because they're in that position, I really love having them on my team because I know their team is trying to get these guys the ball. And when you have guys like that, even though maybe it hasn't, you know, showed up consistently because of whatever reasons, like I know even though win or lose, these guys have to get the ball for this team to have success. And those are guys that I love to have on my fantasy team, even when it's not going great. Because when it's not going great, that's even more reason we got to get these guys the ball because these are the playmakers. So I do like my team, but maybe there is a space to find another running back, not to necessarily like replace Josh Jacobs, but like let's see if maybe someone's interested and you know, getting someone else, and maybe I can, you know, grab someone like myself, where it's like it's another one of those scenarios where it's like these guys want to get this guy the ball. It hasn't necessarily happened like that yet, but hey, we'll see if it turns out. And maybe I'm just biased because I really want myself.
Yeah, sounds like we need to have a conversation about this whole fantasy trade situation.
We definitely do. We have till November 8th.
18th.
November 18th. But I definitely think there's a place where, okay, what's this team situation? Who is the player? How does the player fit into the ecosystem? And I think that's what gives the player upside. Right. Is even if they haven't been doing well, okay, what's the team doing? And is the team trying to get them the ball? Because if their team is, then I know there's going to be some production, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some consistency.
And we talked about this last night too. Even though the Raiders' season is going one direction, and it's down at this point, they're not in the building thinking like, all right, we're act like I know fans are. You mentioned how fans feel, and like, you know, media is doing this too. Like, all right, there's no hope for the Raiders. They got to think about like next year's draft pick. They're not doing that in the building. They're thinking about like, how can we get Davante Adams the ball so that we can win and save our jobs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Work here.
Yeah, for us, man. Even if you're out of the playoffs, it doesn't matter for us. Like, our livelihood is on the line, right? We're not out there playing for your fantasy team, even though, you know, we do a lot and this is a fantasy show. As a player, I have my livelihood on the line. I have my future contract on the line. I have this whole trajectory of my life on the line. So I am going out there regardless if we're 0-16 and it's the last game. I'm trying to do everything I can to show that I can play at a high level in this league. And that's the mindset. So even if a team doesn't have the best record, you know, it's not like the standards compromise. Absolutely not. They're going to go out there and still kind of try to play the best that they possibly can. And so that's where I still have faith in my guys, you know, Devontae and Josh Jacobs, where, yeah, their record isn't the best, but I know these guys are going to be the difference maker. Same with my situation. You know, our record isn't the best. We wish it was better. Absolutely. Do I want to be 2-4? Absolutely not. But guess what? You know, it's even more. You know, I'm already highly motivated, but it's even more motivation. All right, we got to turn this thing around, get going. It's even more pressure. So, you know, it's not that I love it, but I love pressure because mm-hmm. I think it keeps us locked in, keeps us, you know, in a position where you need to continue to focus. And, you know, when you go through some adversity, especially in the season, and you have media talking about it, things like that, it's like it's even more locked in. Like, you know, put the walls up, right? Can't let these people infiltrate us. And let's get to work, man. Like, I cannot wait to get back to work and get on the dang practice field and get ourselves playing back at a high level for 4 flipping quarters, because it's going to be a thing of beauty once we come together and put that thing on the field. And I cannot wait. Sunday Night Football, it's coming, baby. Let's go.
If you don't listen to what Austin just said and you don't come to the same conclusion that I do, which is that like the way that football media has started to talk way too much about like tanking culture and stuff, like, oh, like tanking in sports, that it's nuts. If you don't come to that conclusion, I don't know how you're going to continue to follow the sport. But all right, let's change gears here. Let's talk about the Eagles, because that was something that we were going to do in our trading secrets segment here. Specifically, I want to talk about the tush push. Okay, first of all, it is tush push to me. I'm not going to call it the brotherly shove. I don't like it. I like tush push better. It was originally tush push. It should stay tush push. Period. End of story. Everybody seemingly, Austin, has a hot take or a stance on the tush push and whether it is good, whether it should, well, not even that it's good. Clearly it's an effective play, whether it should stay in the sport, whether it should be outlawed or whatever. What is your stance on the tush push?
I think it's honestly amazing. How efficient the Eagles are with this, man. It's crazy. Cause look, every team does, right, the QB sneak, and every team's seen the Eagles and how they do it, and has probably tried it at some point. We've even tried it, and we tried it, and I just watched Justin get stood up, and he was kept like lifted off the ground, and it was just like this Eiffel Tower being created of two teams pushing into each other. So unfortunately for us, we didn't get the same push in the tush that, you know, that they got. And so, you know, shout out to that group of, you know, offensive linemen and you know, Jalen for getting that done, man. And I think it's amazing, you know, how efficient and effective they are with that. Even though defenses know it's coming, right? They've known this for 2 years now, and you'll see, you know, 3 offensive line or defensive linemen lined up over, you know, Jason Kelce. That's the name, right?
Jason Kelce.
They got a guy as a zero tech, like head up, and then 2-1 techniques that are right off of Jason's shoulders, like ready, like to shove this guy back. And they still, right, get underneath them and still are able to push him back with their, you know, interior. And so it's truly amazing. You know, when you know something's coming and you still can't stop it, man, it's demoralizing when you watch it happen to you. Absolutely. Cause you're like, ah, come on. But you know, from an outsider fan view, I think it's pretty awesome for them.
I love it, and I love it for the reasons that you just laid out. One, other teams try to do it and they cannot do it. Okay. It is insane. Like there's just been so little success implementing it otherwise. Also, people act like it's not a foot. People say it's not a football play. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's literally like, it's all leverage, it's strength, it's momentum. Like it's also from a structural perspective, it is how they have quite literally built this team on the back of like Jason Kelce and on the offensive line. That's how the Eagles have sustained success over so much change between their 2017 Super Bowl and their run of the Super Bowl last year. Like a lot of things, different quarterback, different head coach, all kinds of different stuff, but they've remained consistent in building through the offensive line. And this is a manufactured part. Like this is the benefit of that, right? This is the result of those efforts. And for Jason too, guy almost retired this past year. You know, he thought about it and now he's just coming back again to just drill into the middle of the defensive line where you said everybody knows it's coming. Watch those plays and just see like the entire weight of the play is on Jason Kelce. Literally the entire weight.
Straight carnage. Just absolute carnage of bodies just slamming into each other. And yeah, it's a giant. Yeah, I'm like, dang, how do these guys, are these guys okay at the bottom of the pile? Like, how does everyone always come up out of these things not like just feeling good? I'm just like that. To me,
Not everybody wants to do that. They're like Aaron Rodgers, other quarterbacks have said at times, like, I'm not doing the QB sneak, okay? Because, and that's the regular QB sneak, not the tush push. Just right. It's like, we've right. at least got some receivers out there on the boundary to distract from the fact that we are going to do this one thing. And they're like, no, I'm not doing that. So it takes and I think it's a testament to Jason and to Jalen Hurts that, like, this is a thing they are willing to do and grind out because not everybody would be willing to do that.
I think we have a lot of guys that would be willing, but just aren't capable. You know, I think that's what it comes down to. They, for whatever reason, you know, those guys have the capabilities to do that. And guess what? They're getting it done. Like I said, we've seen other people do it. Like people were willing then to get in there. Like, let me tell you, as football players, you know, we're wired a little crazy. Like we'll throw our bodies, we'll put our bodies on the line, you know, for a lot for our team. You know, that's what we go through. That's why we build up ourselves during the off season, do all these workouts and stuff like that. So we'll throw ourselves in there. And if it's going to work, absolutely, we're going to get in there and do it and get in there. If you need me to get in there and root hog somebody or get in there and push Herbert in the bag, let's get it.
So, okay, let me ask you this, because I've had this thought watching the tush push with, like I said, Jalen Hurts, who allegedly squats like 600 pounds. I know you, Austin. I mean, look at the damn Instagram. You're all over the gym. You're all over the workout. I'm sure you squat 800 pounds. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, you're in the squat rack, man. We know this about you. So the Chargers come to you and say, hey, Austin, we're going to have you take a snap from under center. And you're going to, because I've thought about this, right? Like, why not just throw a different position back there if it's not the, you know, Justin tall ass, lanky ass quarterbacks, right? Yeah. Let's get the guys who squat like you do. So are you going to, how would that work out?
I think there's some physics in it as well. Where yes, I think, yeah, I definitely squat more than, you know, than Jay Herb, but he's also 6'5". Right. And so I'm 5'8". So just regardless, me falling, if we were to stand there and just fall forward flat on our faces with the ball in our hand, he's going to have another yard and a half, you know, of reach than I'm going to have. And so, you know, I think that plays a part into it as well. When you're also tall, I think it helps because you can lay forward and get, you know, Derrick Henry, one of those guys too, you fall forward for two extra yards every time. But yeah, no. And then, I would get in there, yes, if that's what we had to do. I think, you know, we're better off probably trying something else.
Okay, well, you know, number one, you're listed at 5'10 on the internet, so.
Hey, well, you know, I'm going to let you know here. You've heard it here first, Matt. Everything on the internet is not true.
What? Are you serious?
Sorry to disappoint you, but yeah. Sometimes things are exaggerated on the internet, you know, crazy.
Well, you're talking to, no, I, one of my biggest axes to grind with the entire football media industry and the whole complex is we talk about player weight. It's like, well, he's 220 pounds. Like, he was 220 pounds. Maybe, maybe, maybe that one day that he waited. Right. Well, this receiver ran a 4.3. He ran a 4.3 that one day he ran it. And I don't see why that matters a damn bit 10 years into his career.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So you're actually speaking to, you're barking up the right tree on this particular instance. But hey, the Titans, they might be without Ryan Tannehill this week. So maybe they get Derrick Henry's ass under the center and they push him. Mike Vrabel, call me.
Hey, that doesn't sound like a bad idea.
That's my consulting fee is high, but
also,
call me.
Yeah. Also, there's like this thing called, mass, I'm also, 195.
200 so, actually.
You're oh, well, yeah, 200, 200 if you want to. Yeah, I'm letting you hear first, 5'8", 195. So that definitely helps as well. If, some mass, mass, you could be the strongest man in the world. But if a 300 pounder is running at you and you weigh 195 pounds, there's no muscle that can stop that. you're going to get blown over.
All right, let's wrap things up here on the Eagles because we're talking about the tush push and how it's been super successful. And look, we said it earlier in the show, they have one of the best records in football. They're right there with the Kansas City. Okay. But things aren't all working out in this offense. And my biggest question to you about this offense right now, AJ Brown's having a dynamic season. And I mean, this guy is an elite player. He is one of the, he has a seat in the reception perception Hall of Fame. I'll tell you that. Like, he was a guy I was on for a really long time as like an elite player in Tennessee when he wasn't putting up those numbers. We've seen him put up those numbers. He's putting up the numbers right now in Philadelphia, but not everything is working in this offense. Devonta Smith, the second receiver, is really not having that type of fantasy production that a lot of people expected. And I'm going to heat check. I want you to heat check me on this because I have said this over the last few years. It's like, well, they don't have a number one receiver. They have two number one receivers. They have a 1A and a 1B. Can that really be a thing? Because when I watch the Eagles sort of struggle to integrate a new offensive coordinator, they're just, again, not firing on all cylinders. At this point, it looks like they're like, all right, well, not everything's working out, but you know what is working out? Number 11. Okay, we're just going to spam him. We're going to hit that easy button over and over and over again, and we're going to win games while we're trying to figure it out. But Smith has fallen on the wayside. So 1A, 1B receivers, is that a real thing, or do I need to change my lexicon of how I'm talking about this?
Yeah, and at first, I think we need to establish that there's two realities here. There's the reality of us in the NFL, which is we got to win games, and that's really the only thing that matters at the end of the day. And they're 5-1. So
right,
they're in a situation where they're winning games, so their formula is working for them. And then there's a reality of the fantasy world where it's the fantasy production. And, as a fantasy production, it might be like, Devonta Smith isn't playing at the level that we thought he would. So there's only one really main receiver that's, getting the workload. But the thing is, for them, they're going to go with the formula that's working for them. And, as we see, something that's really stood out to me with this team is their time of possession, right? Which means they've been able to run the ball well. That means they're converting well on third downs. And their time of possession, I looked it up, it's like record highs from times of possessions from offenses. And so when you're able to do that and you're able to keep converting, honestly, the production doesn't necessarily matter who's making the production happen, because that's a formula to win games. And that's what they've been doing. They've been winning games. And, we have these, expectations based off of things from last year. And, sometimes they play out, sometimes they play out worse or better. And, Smith over there was a crucial part of that offense last year. And, this year it's been AJ Brown, who's been kind of holding all of that as far as the receiver, work over there. Not saying, Smith hasn't had a good season. I definitely seen him make some of those plays that we're used to seeing him play or make, but I think it comes down to when you have two guys that you can rely on, it's a thing of beauty. It really is. Because I don't necessarily ever think it's a receiver one and a receiver one. You might have the talent that are at the same level, but whether it's the scheme or whether it's, hey, this person's hot, like there's probably one of those guys that's going to stand out. If you have two that stand out, then your team's really going to be on a heater. And you see it sometimes. It doesn't mean that it can't ever happen. It definitely happens when you have two receivers, do well. But I would say for the most part, yeah, you have someone who's that number one that is really the game plans around, hey, this matchup for this guy, because he's been playing well and people maybe aren't doubling him, or he's able to break, the zone levers. Depends on so many different factors. Who you're playing, what type of, defense do they play, and you know, what type of player you have. So yeah, Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown, man, they've been connecting, and it's been a thing of beauty. And they've also been running the rock too. So
right,
shout out to that.
Swift is having an awesome
Swift
year.
Yeah,
I think when I hear you say this, and I agree with you that I probably have to say more like, okay, you can say there's a 1A and a 1B. A still comes before B in the alphabet, okay? Like, there is still a hierarchy in that receiver room. I do tend to think, like you said, I watched Devonta Smith, like, I chart his routes, and this guy's getting open. He's doing his job, and right now it's going A.J. Brown's way. But we know that defenses catch up. They play a certain way, and I think Smith's time will come from a fantasy standpoint. It just, those fantasy numbers can be very deceiving as to what the reality that's playing out on the field, as we mentioned. So that's a good discussion there. I think his time will come. All right, Austin, let's finish this out like we always do with some bold predictions. All right, Austin, since we're teaming up with the first ever Toyota Grand Highlander, the perfect vehicle for making new memories, we're going to create some memories of our own in this segment we are calling Future Snapshots. So, Austin, make me a bold prediction. Who's going to have a memorable performance this weekend, pal? Because you finally got on the board last week with a good one.
I'm starting the streak. I have started the streak of 1-0. And my bold prediction this week, I'm sticking with the running backs, and guess what? That's the only thing that matters this week is we try to get 1-0 again. We actually, our defense kind of held this guy at bay a little bit last week, but I'm going with my guy over Isaiah Pacheco.
Ooh, I love this.
Ooh, over with the Chiefs going up against Denver. I think he's going to have a memorable performance. I'm saying he's going to go for 100 yards of total offense and a touchdown. That is my bold prediction for this week.
I love it. He has been one of the best fantasy picks you could have made this year. He's been having an awesome season. Went quiet against the Chargers last week, which definitely was kind of not to expectation. So I love the call out there. I think you'll be 2-0 after that prediction. I love the call there. I will go actually to the Thursday night game. Dalton Kincaid had his best performance of the season last week with 8 catches on 8 targets. Well, now they put Dawson Knox potentially, he might miss a few weeks here, right? And I think, I don't wish injury on anybody, obviously. That would make me a total scumbag. But I wonder if without Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid kind of has to step up, and it makes the offense maybe just a little more simple. Instead of the 2 tight ends, they have 3 receivers, 1 tight end. He's out there, and he's going to be that first read in from the tight end perspective. So I think Dalton Kincaid has 2 touchdowns in this Thursday night game. I think he has his first official breakout performance of the season. Again, we got a nice little, in a losing effort, we got a nice little stat line there last week. I think he's going to be a big part of the Buffalo Bills win on Thursday night, and I think he scores twice.
Wow, that is quite the bold prediction. All right, we will see if it holds true.
Well, I like yours, so there's that. At least we're feeling good about Austin's 2-0 streak here. See, we're making memories every day here on Eckler's Edge. Those were our future snapshots. Thanks again to Toyota and the first ever Grand Highlander. Austin, another fantastic show. Hell of an effort. We started out, you know, on a real, just so good to be doing this show with you. So good. What a blessed opportunity you and I have to do this thing. And that was a blessed show. I thought it was great.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just, you know, we love having fantasy, love the community aspect about this and being able to talk about it and hopefully bring some value to y'all, maybe a little entertainment factor, maybe some real life thrown in there today, you know, as far as expectations around some of this stuff. But hey, that's what we're here to do. We're here to keep it real, keep it fun, and then also keep it moving and hopefully bring some value.
Yeah, you mentioned the community aspect. I think we are about due for another mailbag segment. So I'm going to handle, I'll put out like a tweet or something leading into next week's show. So keep an eye out for that for a potential mailbag segment for next week's show. But for now, this show's over. That's going to do it for us. Tomorrow, the show rolls on. It's Thursday, so you know what that means. It's Stat Nerd Thursday. Dalton Del Don joins me for another episode of Stat Nerd Thursday, where we look at one stat you need to know for all 32 NFL teams as we head into week 8. Until then, we're out.